Well, good afternoon. Well, it's good to see you all here today. When I read the text message this morning, I was a little confused. I saw, I didn't open it up completely, but I kind of saw just the headline. It said, "Fried catfish, how bad do you want it?" And I thought, I don't know if people are going to show up or not. But it's good to see you all here. Well, if you follow football, then I don't need to tell you that in a matter of a few weeks, you will be able to get more than your fill of football, no matter what area, what level of football you prefer. If you like high school, it's coming up. If you like college, it's right around the corner. If you like the NFL, it's coming up soon. As a matter of fact, I thought about it, and it was for the first time I realized that when it all gets geared up, you can have football on Monday night. This is not replays. This is live football. You can have live football on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every day of the week but Tuesday. I think that's the only night there's not like high school or college or pro football. Almost every night of the week. Well, if you were to go into any practice, and there are practices going on all over the place right now because this is preseason. This is get ready time. And if you were to go into any practice, I guarantee you there is a message that is being communicated to every single player for every single team. It does not matter which level. It may not be the exact words, but the message to every player right now as they are going through excruciating practices, two-a-days, all the things that are happening, there's a common theme, a common message. Every single player is hearing it. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want the prize? How bad do you want the championship? How bad do you want to be the best team we've ever been? How bad do you want it? As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, knowing God should be our greatest pursuit. Knowing God should be our greatest pursuit, and yet most people never get to that place where they have that intimate, close relationship with God, because you've got to answer the question, how bad do you want it? Now notice, when I say knowing God, having a close, personal, intimate relationship with God, I distinguish knowing God from knowing about God. There's a difference. You can know about someone and yet not know them. Many of you know I came from the Dallas Metroplex, and that's where the Dallas Cowboys play. And if you were to ask me if I know Dak Prescott, I could tell you we lived in the same city. Lived within a mile or two of each other. I could tell you he went to Mississippi State. I could tell you he lost his mom to cancer. There are things I could tell you about him, but I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. God is calling us to do more than just know about him, but to know him, have a relationship with him, where we talk to him through prayer. We learn from him through his word. We worship him. We have a deep, abiding relationship with him. In Exodus chapter 33, we see an example. We see a man who is pursuing to know God, to have a close relationship with him. I'd like to read these verses, Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'Well, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?' The Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name.' Then Moses says, 'Well, I pray you, show me your glory.' He said, 'I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion.' But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" One of the things I want to encourage you with that we can learn from this story today is if we truly want to know God, then we must understand knowing God is a continuous pursuit. Knowing God is a continuous pursuit. Moses had already experienced some incredible supernatural things that God had done in his life. Remember, there was the burning bush. God spoke to Moses and communicated his calling to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, and it was through the burning bush. And then there were the 10 plagues, where God used those 10 plagues to convince the Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses saw all these things take place, all the way to the point where the Pharaoh said, "Get out, get out, get out, get out, go. You've caused my people enough problems. We've seen death, we've seen sickness, we've seen every kind of pestilence. Get out." Moses had seen God's supernatural hand. He came with the people to the Red Sea. And they came to the Red Sea, and now Pharaoh and his army were coming after the people. Where do we go from here? Well, God told Moses to raise up his hand with the staff in it, and he saw God split open the waters for the people, Israelites, to get through. Moses had seen God's hand. Exodus 33:11 says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." But his past experiences were not enough. He had seen God's hand work and do supernatural things, but that wasn't enough. Moses understood he needed God today. He needed God's intervention today. He needed God's power today. He needed God to work in his life today. Now, you know, history is important. It's important to be able to look back. And one, you want to learn from the past. You can learn some incredible lessons if you're willing to look back. History is important. History is important not only because of the lessons you can learn by looking back, but history is important because you can look back and you can see faithfulness, the hand of God that has taken place in your life. And you can remember, hey, we've gotten through this before. There have been challenges before. And yet, although we can learn from history, although we can celebrate our history, we cannot live in the past. Do you know some people like that? Do you know a person like that? That basically every time you talk to them, perhaps you go back to where you used to live, or you're talking to a family member over the holidays, and all they can talk about is the old days. All they can talk about is what used to be. You remember the time, and they have nothing new, nothing fresh to share about what is happening in their lives. It's all about the past. Moses encourages us. God's word encourages us. Hey, learn from the past. Celebrate the past. And yet, expect God to do something new in the present. Moses was not content with the things that had taken place in the past, even though he had seen God's supernatural hand work time and time again. He knew that in order to see God's hand today, he would need to pursue to know God's ways. His pursuit of God would involve a pursuit to know God's ways. Moses continuously pursued God by requesting, God, verse 13, I pray that you let me know your ways that I may know you. God, I want to know what you have to say today. There are circumstances in my life, there are situations in my life, and I need to hear you speak today. And I'm not satisfied with what happened back there. I want to see your hand at work today. Moses understood that making that adjustment of pursuing God continuously, pursuing his ways, would require that he make adjustments. He would have to adjust his thoughts to God's thoughts. He would have to adjust what he wanted to what God wanted. We pursue him daily. We pursue God consistently because as we pursue God and we hear from God, he will direct our paths. He will speak into our situation. He will intervene into our circumstances. But we must be willing to learn his ways. His ways are not our ways. So we must learn his ways so that we can adjust our ways to his ways. Moses wanted to know what God thought about the matter. Moses wanted to know, before I speak, before I lead, I want to know what you have to say. He knew that his pursuit would not only include learning his ways, but it would be a pursuit of experiencing his presence. This is very interesting. As you read this passage and you see that Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. If your presence does not go before us, we don't want to go. Now, here's in essence what Moses was saying. And this was very convicting for me. God, I would rather have your presence than the stuff that you could provide. I'd rather have you with me than all the stuff. Give me this, give me that. I need this, I need that. I need to know that you are with me. I value your presence over anything else in my life. Before I move, before I speak, before I make this decision, I want to know that you are with me. And I want you to think about how many mistakes we could have avoided if we'd asked God the question, before I move, before I make this decision, before I step out, I want to know that you are with me. I value your presence over the expediency of this situation. Moses valued God's presence. Think about the thing right now that you're hoping, you are trusting, you are, it could be promotion, it could be intervention into a family situation, it could be providing some way financially. Think about what you are hoping, trusting God for the most right now. Would you trade receiving that, whatever that is, in order to experience God's presence? Moses says, before we do anything, we need to know that you are in our midst. We need to know that your presence is with us. We want to know that you endorse what is happening. Again, think about how our lives, even going forward, would be so much different if we stopped before we entered into the circumstances and situations and made our and said, God, I want to know what you have to say about this. I want to know what you think about this. I want to know if my words that I'm about to speak are going to honor you. I want to know if my action right now is going to honor you. Before I do this, I need you to validate this is right. Moses knew that in order to know God, in order to have an intimate relationship with God, he would have to continuously pursue him. He would have to pursue his ways. He would have to pursue his presence. But he would also know that knowing God does not alleviate your challenges. Knowing God does not alleviate your challenges. If you were to flip back one chapter, you would see in Exodus 32 that Moses had this mountaintop experience with God. He had gone to the mountain. God had spoken to him. God had given him, dictated the Ten Commandments. Moses had this incredible experience with God, and he's walking down the mountain. He looks out. Exodus 32 says before he could get there, he looks in the distance. He sees the people dancing. He sees the people singing. And he sees this huge golden calf. And so while he's been up meeting with God, hearing from God, having this mountaintop experience, the people had gone AWOL. And Moses says, the first thing he did was he looked for Aaron, the person that he just had to have, by the way. So when you put those pieces together, it's very enlightening that God gave this call to Moses. I want you to lead the people. I want you to lead the people. I want you to speak. And Moses gave all these excuses. And so Aaron comes into the picture. If you look at how many times Aaron is a part of messing things up, this is just a side note, by the way, but how many times Aaron is involved in messing things up, but hey, God said, okay, if you want this person, I'll allow you to have this person. But in this case, Moses says, Aaron, what got into you? How in the world, what got into you that you would allow these people to sin against God? And it's a reminder to us that even in our pursuit of knowing God, today, many of you will be encouraged, you will be challenged, and I just want to forewarn you, you may not get down Moore's Lane. You'll read a text, you'll read an email, you'll get a message of some kind, somebody will pull out in front of you. Your faith will be challenged. So even as you and I pursue God, we desire to have an intimate relationship, just know there will be challenges involved in that pursuit. But Moses passionately pursued knowing God. But the encouraging news I have for you today is when you and I passionately pursue God, we pursue His ways, we pursue His presence, we go through the challenges, we navigate through those things as we trust God. The encouraging news I have for you today is that knowing God will result in experiencing His blessings. Knowing God will result in experiencing God's blessings. It's important to understand that in Exodus 33, in the situation Moses was in, where he had come back from the mountains, seeing these rebellious people, he needed, in that moment, he needed God's presence. He needed God to show Himself and validate that He would continue to lead him. He would continue to be in their presence. And because Moses continued to pursue God, God honored his request. What is it that you need? What is it that you need God's divine intervention to help you through during this time? Whatever that is, the good news is, if you will passionately pursue Christ, if you will passionately pursue your relationship with Him, He will give you what you need. Even in this story, God did not give Moses all of his request, but he showed himself to him. He said, now, if you saw my face, you wouldn't be able to live. But I'm going to show myself to you, but you're going to hide yourself in the cleft of the rock, and I'm just going to pass by. And I'm going to turn the other way, but you are still going to experience my presence as a validation that I will be with you. Moses was willing to pursue that close relationship with Christ, and God provided what he needed. As we passionately pursue Christ, we can know that God will give us what we need. We will experience His blessing. But the question is, how bad do you want it? Look at this video.
If you do the three things I tell you to do tonight, I guarantee you, whatever it is you want to do in life, you'll be able to do. You will be able to accomplish whatever you want to academically, financially, relationally, whatever. So three things. All right, now I'm going to tell you the story. I got to get out of here. And the story is about, you guys have probably heard about this before. It was a young man who, you know, he wanted to make a lot of money. And so he went to this guru, right? And he told the guru, you know, I want to be on the same level you are. And so the guru said, if you want to be on the same level I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. He like, the beach? I said, I want to make money. I don't want to swim. Guru said, if you want to make money, I'll meet you tomorrow, 4 a.m. So the young man got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll, got on the suit. He should have wore shorts. The old man grabs his hand, said, how bad do you want to be successful? He said, real bad. He said, walk on out in the water. So he walks out into the water. Watch this. When he walks out into the water, it goes waist deep. So he like, this guy crazy. Adrian, he like, I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I want to make money. He got me in. So he said, come out a little further. Walked out a little further. Then he had it right around this area, the shoulder area. So this old man crazy. He making money, but he crazy. Said, come on out a little further. Came out a little further. It was right at his mouth. My man like, I'm about to go back in here. This guy out of his mind. So the old man said, I thought you said you wanted to be successful. He said, I do. He said, walk a little further. He came, dropped his head in, held him down, hold him down. My man getting scratching, holding him down. I got you. I know you brushed it out, but I got you. He had him held down. I need you for an illustration. He had him held down. Just before my man was about to pass out, he raised him up. He said, I got a question for you. Somebody answer the question for me. He said, when you were underwater, what did you want to do? Live. I'm looking for a different word, though, than live. What's that word? He said, I wanted to breathe. He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I don't know how many of y'all got asthma in here today, but if you ever had an asthma attack before, you short of breath, SOB, shortness of breath, you wheezing. The only thing you trying to do is get some air. You don't care about no basketball game. You don't care what's on TV. You don't care about nobody calling you. You don't care about a party. The only thing you care about when you're trying to breathe is to get some fresh air. That's it. And when you get to the point where all you want to do is be successful as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep.
So you say, Marcus, how can I know that I really want to know God? What's a good barometer? A good barometer, a good test for you and for me that we really want to know God, is when your desire to know God is equal to your desire to breathe, you'll be in deep pursuit of the living God.